Medicare drug plans change every year, and 2026 is no exception. Premiums may rise, deductibles can change, and sometimes plans even leave or close. HICAP is here to help you review your coverage. Services are always free. Call HICAP today at 530-223-0999. That's 530-223-0999. Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy Program, HICAP, helping you stay informed, protected, and covered. This program is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $341,698 with 100% funding by ACL, HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor the endorsement by ACL, HHS, or the U.S. government.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
Of course, America has its issues and challenges. All countries do. But there is no government like this beautiful experiment.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That was Allison Ellis, editor of the new book, Finding Our Words, Words That Made America, a collection of some of the most inspiring words spoken by American leaders since our founding. More on that coming up later on in today's program. First, we're joined by Sam Connect, master painter and Hillsdale Professor Emeritus of Art. Sam, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. I'm glad to be here. Glad to have a chance to plug the new video course for the college, course on American painting.
It's called American Paintings, and our listeners can find it at hillsdale.edu/new course. hillsdale.edu/new course for American Paintings with Sam Connect. This course covers a wide variety of subjects, portraits and landscapes, even battle scenes. We'll talk a bit more about some of those later on. What ties those diverse works together as American? What makes it American art?
Well, Scott, I think what is American about all of this is that most of the artists are Americans, grew up here, but there are a few imports, especially in the days of the Revolution where there was an Englishman, an Irishman, and so on, but they really got embedded in the American story. And what is that story? Well, I think, among other things, it's the story of the founding, and it's also about being practical and being honest. It seems to me that so much of the success of the founding depended on people that were smart, but worked hard, worked with their hands in so many cases, and learned crafts like Paul Revere, who was a silversmith, just to mention one. But there's something in the first century or so of American painting that stands out for me, and that is honesty. This adherence to visual truth, but also where a narrative painting is concerned, like a battle scene, adherence to the story, getting the facts right, the uniforms, the poses, armaments, and more. But that honesty spills over into paintings of people in everyday life. You know, if it's a couple of guys haggling over the cost of buying a horse, or a man forging iron in a blacksmith shop, the artists strove to get the story right.
Many students who are signing up for this course might not have a background in art. How accessible is this for someone who wants to learn more about American history and American culture through painting?
Well, I think it's a really accessible experience for students in that my approach, honed over 40 years of teaching art history as well as studio art at Hillsdale College, was always in the role of an ambassador for my field, that I wanted to make it understandable, easily translatable into everyday experience. So I didn't pitch it too highbrow, but tried to make it something that they could relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's analyzing the motives behind a painting or how it's built, you know, like how do you assemble the pieces on the chessboard and move them around until you are successful?
Mm-hmm. The set for this online course is a replication of your studio. How close did they get? And do you think that makes it a little more, well, homey for you? Were you more comfortable with it?
Well, yeah, Scott, that was the most amazing thing about this experience of videotaping the lectures. The Distant Moon crew are geniuses in how they film, how they set something up, and the set that they created to replicate one into my studio with its big windows was a surrealistic experience for me because they did such a wonderful job of it. And even sunlight coming in through the big windows that they mocked up and all kinds of studio equipment lying around. They borrowed some of my paintings for the walls of the set. And it was great fun, a real eye-opener for me in how professional the whole experience is.
Talking with Sam Connect, he's your teacher for the new Hillsdale online course, American Paintings, at hillsdale.edu/new course. One of these lectures focuses on everyday Americans. Why is it significant that American artists so often turn their eyes and gaze toward ordinary citizens rather than just elites in the country?
Well, you don't have a country without a big population, and you know, America is the republic founded on citizenry, the citizen voters, and having their say. Every vote counts. Every citizen's story counts. And to see paintings that shine a light on ordinary people, but yet also suggesting there's something extraordinary, heroic, shrewd, and more. That helps us all to feel more participation in the democratic experience. So I think one of my favorite examples used in the lectures was about a blacksmith known as Pat Lyon, Philadelphia guy who you really could call an ex-con.
Mm-hmm.
He was thrown into prison, accused wrongly of fashioning keys that would allow robbers to get into one of the big banks of Philadelphia.
Hmm.
Well, eventually Pat Lyon was exonerated and got out, made a lot of money actually designing firefighting equipment on wheels and so on. So he took some of his profits and hired a really good artist to do a portrait of himself, but not a formal portrait. No, it shows him in his blacksmith shop, shirt sleeves rolled up above the elbows, big, powerful arms, blacksmith tongs ready, and the red flames issuing their color from the open mouth of the forge. I could go on and on with the details, but they were all done with really exquisite care, but also to suggest that here's a guy, self-made man, like
right.
We're proud of in American society, who overcame adversity, but also was the kind of guy who could think, who could design, who could build.
Another lecture looks at depictions of battle. And you mentioned that military scenes in American art have been somewhat neglected. What do you think they can help teach us today, and why were they neglected during some time periods?
Well, I think it's perhaps a more recent phenomenon in the teaching of art history in the country and throughout academia that I suspect that there is a little bit of a distaste among some of the mainstream scholars for narrative pictures,
mm-hmm.
which battle scenes have to be. And sometimes they need to be loaded to the hilt with, if you'll pardon the expression, with detail to weapons and more. But this is an area I think worthy of great attention. And in recent years, I became quite aware of the vast collections that the military branches of service have for artwork that they have sponsored, mm-hmm. or else acquired. But each one of the major branches, Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, and so on, has a huge collection of paintings and photographs and even some sculpture, all of these which tell the story of their of these branches. Well, there's such a treasure trove of American experience there that just happens to be through the lens of the military. So I pulled together some obvious battle scenes like Bunker Hill. There's a Civil War scene as well, Vietnam with rescuing wounded, helicopters and so on, but also some quiet behind the front scenes.
We're talking with Sam Kadek, your teacher for the new Hillsdale College online course, American Paintings. Find it at hillsdale.edu/new course. More next. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Shasta College's Harvest Fest returns to Ross Ranch on Saturday, October 18th from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. Start the evening with a student showcase, then enjoy a delicious dinner of whole roasted pigs and fresh produce grown by our students, plus local beer and wine, live music, dancing, and auctions. Every ticket helps our agriculture, natural resources, horticulture, logging, and heavy equipment students gain the hands-on experience they need to succeed. Get your tickets on Eventbrite or call 530-242-7565.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hey, Redding, save big on Black Bear Diner's new basket bundles. Get your paws on a choice of sandwich, side, and drink for only $11. A great meal at a great price. Basket bundles, now available at Black Bear Diner. Be sure to stop by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner just added 4 brand new and 4 returning classics to the menu. Black Bear Diner, 2205 Hilltop Drive. Get big value and so many choices at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. 3 locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the 3rd generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram, talking with Dr. Sam Kinect, Professor Emeritus of Art at Hillsdale College, and your teacher for the new Hillsdale online course, American Paintings. Find it at hillsdale.edu/new course. Sam?
Now, I love a good landscape, but sometimes those are thought of as just scenic. Your course suggests there's something deeper at play here. What might American landscape art really be telling us, showing us?
Well, that's a fascinating area, Scott. The thing about landscape, and this does apply to American painting in general, and that is that early on there was a priority of getting the story right, the appearance of the president, the story of a battle, and so on. And sometimes those pictures are tinged with idealism, with glorification.
Mm-hmm.
And so they stray from being brutally honest truth to some degree. Well, eventually, by the time of the Civil War, the scenic paintings start to get a little more, well, mundane, and less imbued with religious overtones. And in the 20th century, with industrial progress, the machine landscape, the building of the Brooklyn Bridge, for example, and skyscrapers and so on, that starts to dominate artists' interests to some degree. But just getting back to the original point here, the early landscapes, people like Cole or Church, that you learn about in my course, they saw the scene as an American Eden, that this was God's promised land, and with God's providence, we could hack out a living in the wilderness and turn it into pasture land, into farmland, and so on. So some of the artists tended to suggest that there's a dynamic struggle going on in the wilderness, just like there was a struggle for independence in mm-hmm. the Revolution. But this struggle through the Revolution and beyond involved dealing with the wilds of the American frontier. And, some of the artists would resort to showing you in part of the sky a vicious storm,
mm-hmm.
maybe some lightning, huge thunderclouds, shadowed landscape, and so on, and downed trees, suggesting that, well, maybe this is God's punishment, that he has this all-powerful might that to crush anything if he so chooses. But then those stormy skies would also show you, well, here's a sky that's clearing and sunlight now is invading the land. And so you get this dichotomy between punishment and salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fascinating to see the religious overtones yeah. in those early 19th century paintings.
Talking with Sam Kinect, he is your teacher for the American Paintings online course from Hillsdale College, hillsdale.edu/new course. You spent 40 years teaching art. Does this course allow you to do or say anything that feels different or special compared to what you did here at Hillsdale?
Well, Scott, the exciting challenge of the course was dealing with my own sense of knowing too much. You know, I taught the course forever and gone to museums and done tons of reading, not just art books, but history books. And so the happy challenge of the course was boil it down, get to what ought to be a decent balance in each category of the lectures, and dig in, provide some pithy insights as much as I'm able to provide, and also to walk the student through the picture, taking a tour of it as I point out, well, notice this, notice that, notice the hand gesturing over toward mm-hmm. that item, and so on, so that they could see that there may be a very natural appearance to the painting, but it's orchestrated.
Mm-hmm.
It is designed by the mind and the hand of the artist to a particular good purpose.
In addition to being a teacher, you're also a master painter, an active artist yourself. As a journalist, I'm accustomed to taking a blank page and filling it, or blank podcast, radio show, filling it. When you look at that blank canvas in front of you, take us inside that process just a little for how you fill it, how you figure out what you're going to do.
Well, that involves me shifting gears depending on whether I'm doing a portrait, which I do plenty of, commissioned, as well as portraits of people I know that are not commissioned works, or if I'm doing a landscape. Those are the twin poles of my preoccupation as an artist. If I'm doing a landscape, especially if I'm painting on location, I'll set up a portable easel on the spot and squeeze out the colors on my palette and then pick up a pretty big brush and start mixing up some sloppy brown on my palette and smearing it in places if I want to think of big shapes, or using a skinny brush and putting in a few hesitant marks that are key locations. But I'm always trying to visualize what is the composition and then just start mapping it out very vaguely to begin with a soupy light paint that dries quickly. And then I start building over that layer by layer. And especially with oil paint is very forgiving. If I see a blender and the paint's still wet, I'll take a rag and wipe out that area and start over. If it's something where I'm working in the studio and work over the course of many days, and if I see a blunder after day three and the paint's dry, well, I just paint over it. As one really great artist was known to remark, an efficient army buries its dead.
Yeah.
Cover it up.
American Paintings is the course, hillsdale.edu/new course. Sam Connect, your teacher. For those listeners who might be on the fence, considering, what's your best pitch for why they should sign up now and take this course at American Paintings?
Well, without patting myself on the back, I would rather like to say that this is the kind of course which will really sell itself because the pictures are the stars. You know, you'll see my face once in a while. You'll see me gesturing to some of the big reproductions that we did, especially for the filming. But the pictures tell you the story and impress you viscerally with their impact and hopefully their importance, and that draws you in to learning more about these things. I've often liked to say to students that we prove that history happened when we're teaching art history because we've got the physical evidence to prove that it happened.
Sam Connect is master painter and Hillsdale Professor Emeritus of Art. He's your teacher for the new American Paintings online course, which you can find at hillsdale.edu/new course, newcourse, hillsdale.edu/new course for American Paintings. Sam, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Up next, Allison Ellis joins us. She's the editor of the new book, Finding Our Words, Words That Made America. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Join the heartbeat of our county every Monday at 6:35 a.m. on KCNR with the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for its unbiased reporting, the Town Hall Brief brings clear, local-focused updates and heartfelt discussions that unite our community. Got a story to share? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or connect via socials at Town Hall Brief on linktree.com to drop a DM. The Town Hall Brief, your community's voice for Shasta County News, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us.
This show's for educated voters, not for people that voted for Kamala Harris.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest
every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1468.
Attention veterans. Did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johanneson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Hey, this is Pat Karch. This year, I am the top Italian for Paisano Days 2025. Join us at Paisano Days. It's a great, fun-filled 2 days. Bocce live, and spaghetti dinner, and all kinds of great Italian sausages, hot dogs, cannoli, ice cream, beer, and wine. For 2 days, join us down at South City Park on Friday, September 12th and Saturday, September 13th. For more information, call me at 530-510-1903. Paisano Days.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at podcast.hillsdale.edu. When you find your new favorite show, subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. We're joined by Allison Ellis. She's the author, editor of the new book, Finding Our Words, Words That Made America, also with introductions by Tracy Lee Simmons. We'll talk more about that in a bit. Allison, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. Happy to be here.
This collection of the greatest American speeches is inside Finding Our Words, and you write in the introduction about education loss in America and saying a core cause is we have lost our words, which you call the foundation of all learning, all communication, and all thought. In what ways have we lost our words in America?
Scott, we just no longer read or hear great, beautiful words, and we don't read great composition. And that's something that's been happening, you could say, all the way back to the Industrial Revolution. But most certainly after World War I, Great Depression, World War II, there was a great decline in the quality of education and reading. Of course, other factors came into play, technology, TV, radio, and then, of course, Internet. So I think between Internet and then ultimately the lockdowns, you know, it's over. And I think when I started homeschooling 15 years ago, this wasn't widely understood.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even understand it to the degree I do now, because I chose to homeschool simply because I understand the importance in formation and bonding and family life that young children, you know, when possible, have their one or both parents spending a lot of time with them. But as I began looking for materials and talking to schools and teachers in California, it was terrifying. I could not believe the quality of the materials used in school. Essentially no books, excerpts here and there, pieces of this and that, a chapter from something, let's say, good, perhaps, you know, a little nod to a classical work, but fluff and uninspired material, derivatives of derivatives, and ultimately boring. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the word that children would use at large for school now. They're either bored or actually, from my experience in California, a lot of them are also scared. There are situations in schools that are dangerous, on top of having lost our words.
Was there a particular point at which you realized this was a problem that needed to be solved?
When we lose our words, and I'll give you some examples. Let's look at a speech from Finding Our Words. General MacArthur, 1962 at West Point, the duty, honor, country speech. When I read those words first aloud with my daughter when she was five, I paused with those, the title, Duty, Honor, Country, and I thought, we don't use those words as they were once used, mm-hmm. duty and honor. And actually, I think people look at something like the word, they look at duty like it's a burden, or there's a negative connotation to that word duty, rather than as a part of honor, it is our duty. So MacArthur was talking to the military, but of course this applies to families, parents, children. We all have duties, and we should execute them honorably. But if we don't use those words, we've lost the concept. And if we lose those concepts, even on an individual level, and then take it all the way to a national or global level, we see what we get. So I actually researched the history of word usage, you know, after I had that thought about duty, honor, country. And I researched lots of words. On Google, there are charts of the history of word usage in the public sphere, in print, online. And if you look up duty, honor, country, patriotism, fortitude, tenacity, proper, chastity, I mean, we can go to any aspect of life. Those words, you'll see they peaked, some of them in, you know, around the 1850s, some early 1900s, but now they are hardly used. Mm-hmm. And that reflects in the schools and then what we read. And then, of course, that translates into what we see in our culture and in politics, all levels of leadership. So it's vital that we look back to these beautiful works for learning composition, mm-hmm. for learning oratory. It's the way to foster leadership. But it also, it's an engagement with beauty and inspiration that builds character.
MountTitanoMedia.com for more about Finding Our Words. In the book, you say that your own education, you found out, was mediocre. You knew far less than what you thought you knew. When that realization hit you, how did you figure it out, and what did you intend to do about it?
Before parenthood and family life, I had come out of college with what I think is fairly typical now. I don't know how that happened. I couldn't find specific details, but I came out with a general disrespect and disdain for America. And I'd say of faith, family, and the country. I mean, all of it, there was this, you know, let's call it the leftovers of the Haight-Ashbury era. Mm-hmm. I don't know what all the cumulative events were that led to that. But I spent about 20 years traveling around the world. I've been in 50 countries, 10 of them communist, at the time Soviet Union and some post-Soviet Union. And I have a really broad understanding now of what the result is in countries with weak education and with wildly corrupt and uneducated leadership. And of course, America has its issues and challenges. All countries do. Mm-hmm. But I can assure anyone listening, and I think Hillsdale listeners will know this, there is no government like this beautiful experiment that our founders, and we can trace it back to just a handful of profoundly educated and profound characters that formed this nation that we've inherited. And it is worth doing all we can to continue to build and improve on it. And people who don't understand it, who haven't studied American history, I can tell you that I didn't know most of these speeches before teaching my daughter, you know, starting in, you know, which 15 years ago, reading these. I discovered how little I knew about mm-hmm. American history. I was learning it as I was teaching her.
Many speeches in here people will recognize, perhaps one from Frederick Douglass, Booker T. Washington, Theodore Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan. As you were choosing which speeches to include in finding our words, did you come across any common threads across those speeches that you've collected?
Yes, many. So in general, they were all beautifully educated, and yet... for example, you mentioned Frederick Douglass. He brought himself up from chains of slavery, and he was primarily self-educated. Several of the speakers in here were self-educated, and you know, I think some of them, you know, 6 months or a year of official schooling. And that shows the power of we're Americans. We don't wait for the government or schools or teachers to care about ourselves mm-hmm. or our children as much as we do. And so while we want the government and we want schools to instigate change, and by that I mean going back to what works, not newfangled inventions. but if we will one by one be conscientious with our reading, treasure our time that we do have with our children. If they're in school all day and we're working all day, we have precious little time with them. If we use it well, we can do as Frederick Douglass did and some of the other speakers. We can take the reins of our own education. But then again, many of them were classically educated. They were brought up on, of course, classical education has experienced a great resurgence now in the States, and that's good news because classical education is based on, it all goes back to, you know, I call it Mount Sinai, Mount Parnassus, and then Mount Titano, which I use to symbolize the inheritance of Rome. Mm-hmm. So faith, Greek, and Latin are the foundation of Western civilization and all the works since. These speeches reflect that study, whether it's self-education or classical education.
Talking about the most inspiring words spoken by American leaders since our founding with Allison Ellis. She's the editor of Finding Our Words, Words That Made America. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Join me, Mark Levin, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. KCNR, your talk radio.
Donald Trump is doing something that's never been done in American history. Now, what Trump is trying to do all at once, he wants to, what I call, reindustrialize America.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
KCNR, your talk radio.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years' experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram, talking with Allison Ellis. She's the editor of Finding Our Words, Words That Made America, with introductions by Tracy Lee Simmons. Allison, I'm wondering about the power of these speeches in written form compared to oral form. I'm an audio guy, and so I'm always interested in hearing exactly what's happening. Is there a different benefit that the reader can get from seeing the text and reading these words than just merely hearing them being delivered?
Yes, the benefits are multifaceted. And I actually have a letter to the reader in the beginning of the book. I tell the reader how I've used these words and how I've used them in teaching in homeschool and also volunteer teaching for years now. Of course, an oral tradition, that's how learning happened, and that's how children first learn. Children are capable of so much more than we offer or ask of them now, and I learned that around the world, too. I've been in places where toddlers will speak and understand fairly well multiple languages, two, three, four, where they live in multilingual households or communities. And they don't learn that by sitting down and declining nouns. That does come later, and that's important. But oral learning, children learn to speak their language almost effortlessly by hearing their parents. And so, yes, the sitting together and reading, of course, there's the intellectual benefit, but then there's the joy in it. It's the idea of leisure being where we all sit separately and play on devices, that is obviously that's new, and that's detrimental to the family and to the mind. But sitting together and reading aloud, it's a joy, and it's something that allows these words to, it's like planting seeds for a lifelong harvest in the very young minds. So, and it's also, there are many ways to use these words. I would use them for copy work because the composition is beautiful. It fosters beautiful writing. But then, of course, reading fosters public speaking, and it's another layer of learning. We learn audibly, visually. So I recommend reading, writing, and reciting these words, and ideally together as a family.
Talking with Allison Ellis, her book, Finding Our Words, Words That Made America, a collection of the greatest American speeches. In the introduction, you do provide some recommendations as to how to perhaps go about reading Finding Our Words. One is to use memory work here. In fact, there's a bullet list of quotes at the end of each speech that perhaps readers can use to memorize. What's the importance of memory work and helping to commit these particular lines or those particular passages to your memory?
Well, going back again to learning how to homeschool, I went back in time, and this was also a part of discovering how we've lost our words. I was looking for textbooks, looking for materials and pedagogical ideas. And I looked back. Ultimately, I found that around the 19th century was certainly a peak in education. And we see that in the writing of the 19th century up to, let's say, the 1920s. And what I learned is that there were very young children would study elocution. That's a word we don't hear anymore. And, of course, elocution study leads to eloquence and public speaking. And if you read these words of these speeches and listen to them, they obviously do not sound like most of the discourse in politics today.
Allison Ellis with us, the book Finding Our Words. Do you have an example of one you enjoy reading aloud?
So, for example, this is from a beautiful speech given by Theodore Roosevelt at the Sorbonne. He says, "I believe, of course, in giving to all the people a good education, but the education must contain much besides book learning in order to be really good. We must ever remember that no keenness and subtleness of intellect, no polish, no cleverness in any way makes up for the lack of the great solid qualities, self-restraint, self-mastery, common sense, the power of accepting individual responsibility, and yet of acting in conjunction with others, courage and resolution. These are the qualities which mark a masterful people. Without them, no people can control itself or save itself from being controlled from the outside." I think those words sum up exactly our purpose, our intent with Mount Totono Media and these books. Of course, a good book education, but what comes, it's not just so we pass a test or get into the college we want. It's formative. When we're reading great works, studying great leaders, that's how we learn to become one, whether it's in the home or you know, at the highest levels of leadership.
There's also a section in the introduction where you talk about the need to practice elocution, which you just did very nicely, reading the passage from Teddy Roosevelt. The importance of elocution, reading things aloud, knowing where the emphasis should go, and making sure your communication technique is clear. How can using Finding Our Words help in that matter?
Well, we could consider it an elocution text. If the book is read aloud repeatedly, the words become a part of who we are. And then also, certainly, it takes some guidance with parents to help children. Our favorite word when my daughter was reading this aloud was stentorian. You know, stentorian, my dear, stand up, project your voice. I'm not an orator. I didn't study oratory or elocution. But I know from reading these words, and from reading these textbooks from the 19th century on elocution, I do know what's required, and I know if it's fostered from youth, that's how you raise a George Washington. That's how you get an Abraham Lincoln. And again, Abraham Lincoln's, that's another great example of somebody primarily self-educated. We just visited his birthplace cabin a few weeks ago here in Kentucky. It was studying great words. You know, if we look at the books that a Lincoln read, George Washington read, ideally, reading these words and finding our words, words that made America, we won't just read and recite and copy these beautiful words and make them ours, but it should also encourage the study of these leaders, you know, digging into their life story. And that's what Tracy Lee Simmons does very well in the introduction. I think he fosters an excellent it fosters a love and respect for these leaders, and it makes me want to know more about them.
More at mounttotonomedia.com for Allison Ellis and this book, Finding Our Words, Words That Made America. You mentioned Tracy Lee Simmons, the author of Climbing Parnassus, and also formerly here at Hillsdale College, does an introduction for the book and then does introductions for each individual speech as well. I want to tie this into something else from Teddy Roosevelt that you mentioned in your intro, which is his admonition to love the struggle. These are great works, but they can be complicated works at times. And so there is some work to be put in to get to an accomplishment. Do the introductions by Tracy Lee Simmons on each of these speeches help in that struggle?
They do. And I love that book by Theodore Roosevelt, The Strenuous Life. That's an incredible work. And yes, any great and worthy pursuit will be a struggle. And that's not the bad news, that's the good news. Because a real sense of confidence and self-worth comes from genuine accomplishment, not from a trophy for nothing, not for an A earned by a cakewalk. The struggle is what is how we grow. The finest pottery is fired in the hottest kilns. And so, yes, the words of Roosevelt are very inspiring in that regard. There's another little excerpt I'd like to read on this note, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Calvin Coolidge. He delivered this speech in 1926 on our 150th anniversary. He said, "Our forefathers came to certain conclusions and decided upon certain courses of action, which have been a great blessing to the world." And yes, they have. He continues, "Before we can understand their conclusions, we must go back and review the course which they followed. We must think the thoughts which they thought." Well, the course they followed was a difficult one. It was a challenge, a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So walking in their footsteps will be a challenge.
The book is Finding Our Words, Words That Made America. Allison Ellis is the editor. You'll also read introductions by Tracy Lee Simmons as well. And you can find more at MountTitanoMedia.com. Allison, thank you so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you, Scott. It was great to be here.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Sam Connect, your teacher, for the new Hillsdale online course, American Paintings. Find it at hillsdale.edu/new-course. And Allison Ellis, editor of the book, Finding Our Words, Words That Made America. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Plan your day with the Sue McLean News Hour on KCNR. Your weekday weather forecast equips you to tackle any weather, rain or shine. Sponsored by the Queen of Dragons, a local champion delivering premium flour, edibles, and concentrates with free delivery to Shasta Lake. Their Flower Fridays deal runs all weekend until stock's gone, so grab it fast. Support local by visiting X, Facebook, or thequeenofdragons.com. KCNR keeps you in the loop. Every day.
Experience the thrill of our $100,000 summer adventure. Swipe to win draw. Weekly drawings are from June through August, Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m., where you have a chance to win exciting prizes, including free slot play and cash rewards. Have a chance to win a brand new 2025 Ford Ranger in the final drawing. By participating, you could drive away in style. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope, but that's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
I'm Jack Potter, Jr., Tribal Chairman for Redding Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land. Redding Rancheria is proud to play our part.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.